Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in the studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're listening to All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deborah Wolf and Dwayne Grand Boys. And today we brought back Beth Adelman because we had an email question. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to a lady who just escaped, was evacuated from Egypt. So we're going to talk to her about cats and dogs in Egypt. But right now, we've got an email question. And, you know, my cats love each other and they lick each other's ears and groom each other. But this lady, well, I'm just going to read it to you. Okay, Beth? Okay, Dwayne? Do you want me to read you the email? Okay, here it is.
Sure, just go ahead.
This lady says, her name's Carol. She listens to All Paws Pet Talk. And she says, can two cats fall in love and actually flirt with each other and make little sounds in their throats, even though they are both fixed? One female Himalayan mix and one male Siamese mix. The relationship developed over a 2-month time. It's really adorable, she says, except he mounts her. She doesn't get scared. They just sit still for a while he chomps down on the back of her neck. And okay, so that doesn't sound like love to me. Is that love, Beth?
These guys are both fixed.
No, it's not. You know, here's the thing. For us humans, sex and love are often linked. But for cats, sex is sex and love is love, and they don't really come together. So what's happening here? Among cats, dry humping is a dominance thing. So he's dominating her, and she's being very still, and that essentially is showing that she's submitting to his dominance. But it's not fun for her. And it's probably not even that much fun for him. He's just asserting himself. And I have to say, honestly, that I don't let my cats hump each other because it's just not fun for them, and especially the one who's getting humped. So I break that up.
Well, how do you break them up? Like, you don't want to get scratched. How should she interfere with this? Now, she thinks it's adorable, but I think she's maybe not seeing it clearly for what it is.
I think she's not seeing it clearly. And
it's
so,
bullying,
I mean, he's terrified
really.
Because generally, before the male clamps down on the female's neck, he approaches her and begins to step over her. And you break it up at that point. And you can start by just making a noise, just clapping your hands or saying, hey, really loud, or something like that, and just encouraging the male to move off. And if he doesn't, you know, just go over there and pick him up before he gets on top of her and starts clamping down. And if he does clamp down, I give him a little pat on the tush, you know, and just, hey,
yeah,
let
okay.
go. Show him into another room because he really shouldn't be doing that. He's really just dominating her, and she's kind of feeling like she has to take it. But
it's like
it's not
bullying,
love.
Isn't it? He's kind of throwing his weight around.
It
he's
is.
Bullying her, right? Okay, okay. So
yes,
so this lady
should
intervene and separate them. Carol, you got to separate them. They're not showing love. He's bullying her. It's not nice. Don't get out the Kodak camera and send me more pictures of this. I don't want to see any more pictures of this. I want you to stop it, Carol.
And for heaven's sakes, don't send it to America's Funniest Home Videos, because they're not going to think it's that funny.
No. It reminds me of something I used to see on that real TV show with the Osbournes. They had a dog, I believe, who humped a cat like this, or maybe it was the other way around. I don't know. It was a very dysfunctional situation, and I was dying to be flown in there and fix it. But, of course, I would watch every week just for the pets. But there's a lot of misunderstandings out there, Beth. And now that we're in February, we're getting to Valentine's Day. I'm just wondering, how can we show love to our pets or our cats particularly? I think sometimes we want to hug them, and I'm not so sure they like
right.
to be hugged.
Well, some cats do, but a lot of cats don't. A lot of cats don't like to be picked up, and a lot of cats don't like to be hugged. And it's because it's restraint. When they're picked up, they don't have their 4 feet under them, and they don't have control over their body then. And hugging is restraint. And cats mostly don't like to be restrained, and they don't like to be out of control. So, you know, a lot of people tell me, oh, my cat won't sit on my lap, and so he doesn't love me. But they'll sit next to you on the couch all night, and you kind of have to accept that, you know, that being in your lap there, again, they don't have solid ground under them. But being next mm-hmm. to you, you know, it shows that they want to be with you. And so you kind of have to take it on the terms that they feel comfortable with. And that's true of humans as well. You know, we accept love from people. We know that people express their love in lots of different ways. And some people write love poetry, and some people just aren't, you know, poetic, and they do other things to show they love you. I mean, my husband does the laundry, and he does the dishes, and he doesn't write poetry.
Oh.
But good heavens, he does the laundry and the dishes. I know he loves me.
Can I get your husband to call my husband
No.
and have a little talk? Because I'm needing the love like that. That's a good way. I'm sort of in the same camp as that first cat. I'm not getting the love of the dishes and the no, not over here. I wish. Okay, well, boy. Dwayne, how are you going to log in on this?
Well, I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking with this. I only actually went up and bit my wife in the neck once. That's all that worked.
Did she swat you and put you in another room?
No, she put me in another house. it wasn't quite that. It wasn't quite that way at all. No, it doesn't really work. It's interesting to see how these cats work, though. You know, like Beth was mentioning, they will just come up and saddle up beside you, and that's their affection. You know, I never thought about the idea when you pick them up, you're actually taking away their stability. They're not on their feet anymore.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, and even things like, you know, sometimes you notice during the day, if you're home all day, your cat is kind of sleeping all day, but wherever you are in the house, you notice that the cat's sleeping in the same room you're in. So that means she's waking herself up and moving around the house with you. I mean, that's kind of love. You know, that's a form of love, that she's sleeping, but she still chooses to make sure she's aware of where you are and be in the same room with you. That's a kind of love, too.
Well, you were talking about love.
I have seven indoor cats. And when I move from one room to another, my husband says it's like a parade. It's like a little mini stampede as they all follow me up the stairs, you know. But I don't have this thing where they don't want to be picked up. My cats actually leap onto my shoulders, and they'll jump onto my keyboard or my lap when I'm on the computer, even when I'm on the radio. There's one right now on the chair behind me, right above my head. Like, they really want to get close. So if people have cats that don't want to get close, how can they get them to be a little more, warm up a little?
Well, and the answer is to give them more control. So the thing is, you know, when your cat is sitting down, sit down next to him, but don't try to pick him up or put him on your lap. Sit down next to him, pet him a little bit, and then stop petting him and just, you know, let him sit next to you and let him choose. And if he chooses to walk away, let him choose to walk away. The thing about cats is that the more control you give them over the situation, the more comfortable they feel, and the more comfortable they feel, the more they choose to be with you. Sometimes we forget, because cats have such big personalities, that they're really very little animals. I mean, compared to a cat, we're a giant. And they do see us as giants, and they like to just feel like they have a little bit of control over the situation, because they know we can swoop down and pick them up at any time. They're little compared to us. So the more control you give them, if you touch your cat and she starts to flick her ears or her tail, like, stop touching me, just stop touching her, you know. And if you sit next to her and she'll sit next to you for a while and then walk away, let her walk away. The more control you give her, the more she feels like she can make choices to be with you or not with you, the more she chooses to be with you.
You're talking about, we have been talking mostly about cats and how they show love. Can cats actually not like the people they're with? And I don't think they're capable of hating somebody, but can they really not at all like being where they are and wish they were totally someplace else?
Well, you know, the thing is, cats, sometimes they don't like the way you treat them, and that's different, okay? So sometimes someone will always be loud or noisy or demanding when you approach them, or have some kind of movement that scares them or something like that, and they might run away. They might be scared. They might, you know, just not enjoy being around them because of the way they're treated. And that can certainly happen, that cats don't like the way you treat them. It's also true, it tends to be true, that when you have a lot of people in a household, each cat tends to bond with one person a little bit more closely, and it doesn't mean that they dislike the other person, but they just tend to have a little bit of a preference, but they still love the other person. You know, that's why you have more than one cat. You know, I have three cats.
Yeah, there you go. If you've got a cat and you love it and you're a good cat owner, why not go rescue another one? You know, go to a shelter, go find one that needs a home. With all the displacement right now and people moving and losing their homes, there's a lot of good cats out there who really, really would do well in a home. And I just, you know, one thing I do with cats, I think, is I tease them a little bit. Like, I'll pet them for a little while, and then I stop. I stop well before they've had it. depth. I do the same thing with dogs. And then they move forward if they want more. I think most people tend to overwhelm their animal. We'll be back right after the break, and we'll be talking with Heike, who just escaped, was evacuated from Egypt. She's a cat and dog expert, and she'll be telling us what it's like for cats and dogs in Egypt a few weeks ago, but in particular in Egypt right now with the turmoil. So stay tuned for the latest from Egypt.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Pet Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Deborah Wolf, and we're back talking to Dr. Stan Koren. The professor is in, everybody. And actually, when I listen to that song, Three Blind Mice, I think about the little voles and moles that are about to come out and get caught by my cats, and I think about the hummingbirds that have just come back. So spring is in the air out here on the Pacific Coast, but I hate to tell you that, people back east, but it's true, it's here. And in your book, you kind of, I don't know, I don't really like the cat section, I must say. You say they're not quite as bright as dogs. I don't agree with that. I think that's only if you test them with tests that dogs excel at, but we can argue about that another time. Right now, I want to ask you, Dr. Koren, about Michael Vick and people like him. If they do something really, really horrible to pets, as horrible as we can imagine, cruelty, maximum kind of vicious cruelty, can they ever be safe with pets? Should they ever be okay to have pets?
Well, an interesting study was conducted by a group of, by a clinical psychologist. And he looked at a group of serial murderers. And he looked at 23 serial killers. And he found out in every single case that he looked at, they had a childhood history of animal abuse. So it is certainly the case that at the one level, the fact that individuals are abusing animals says something about their basic personality. Now, whether they can be rehabilitated really depends upon the source of that of their behavior. I mean, if it is the case, as some people have claimed in the case of Michael Vick, that the reason that he was involved in this thing is because, you know, he was a boy from the South and this is the way things were done and dogfighting was part of the culture, then that's one thing. But if it is something which he was doing voluntarily, simply because he wanted to do it, then that's another issue. And in the second case, it is unlikely that they could be rehabilitated. I mean, they could be scared enough so that they don't do it again. So in the case of Michael Vick, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to go back to jail. But whether he's ever, properly rehabilitated, that's another issue. Because there's a psychologist by the name of Robert Hare who has who has basically concluded that individuals who have who suffer from clinical psychopathy cannot be cured. It's a matter of brain wiring. Mm-hmm. Scary, isn't it?
It is scary. It is scary, but I mean, I can't imagine if a person had electrocuted and tortured and killed children, they would never be considered okay to be a foster parent. Like, I just don't get this. I don't get why we don't make the same connection when it's animals.
Well, I believe that he has been banned from keeping animals.
Well, he was, but now the SPCA has kind of backed him, and they're saying that he's a spokesperson for them, and he's going around giving these talks and doing all this community work, and he said he wants to have a dog. His children want him to have a dog, and so it's kind of come up again. It's resurfaced all over again, like the wound isn't deep enough. The dogs he hurt, some of them who survived, still haven't been fully cured and rehabilitated and rehomed. Most of them have, but some of them are still recovering, and he's busy wanting to have a pet, so kind of stings. But, okay, now what about a vicious dog? A dog who bites, attacks, does something nasty. Can it ever be trained and trusted?
Again, you know, it really depends on the circumstances. I mean, you know, kids can be quite rough around dogs. And, you know, if a kid, you know, pokes the dog in the eye or something like that, and the dog responds with a bite and it draws blood and that sort of thing.
Or startles the dog out of sleep. There's some sort of forgivances, right? But if a dog is really goes out of his way to be aggressive and does some real damage and there's no mitigating factor, if the dog is just done, you know, you really got a candidate here that's maybe already got two strikes, or maybe the people really don't know what to do. It's bit several members of the household, you know, that kind of a dog.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Not the one where, it's old and someone fell on it while it was sleeping and it accidentally nipped them. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the case, if it's fear aggression, then it's highly unlikely that you're going to be able to ever remediate it. I mean, you might set it up in a way so that if the dog is monitored all the time, he's not going to bite. If it's dominance aggression, you've got about a 50-50 chance. The reason is that in terms of dominance aggression, it's basically a dog biting to enforce the fact that he has a certain status, and that he's getting some things. And for dominance aggression, there are some techniques which work on at least a reasonable percentage of dogs. Not all of them, but on a reasonable percentage. So Nick Dodman, the veterinarian from Tufts, worked out a very lovely program based on hand feeding the dog, and it's what I call no free lunch.
I've got it in my book. I talk no freebies, no tricks.
Yeah,
no
you got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that works on about half of the dominant aggressive dogs, but the other half, no. And as I said, fear aggression is the big bad. You know, the guy who wrote the first of the Monks of Mesquite books. Was it Job Michael Vincent, was it, I think?
Sounds right.
Anyway, pardon?
Sounds right. I can't see the spine of it from where I'm sitting in the office without taking off my microphone, so I'm going to have to just guess on it, but go ahead.
Anyway, he basically said that in the case of fear aggression, fewer than 5% of the dogs can be rehabilitated. And, you know, after he left the monastery, he became a big guru for sort of celebrity dog problems in New York. So sort of he was the...
Well, you know, your book takes us through some things, and it tells you what dog you should... First you do the quiz, and then it tells you what kind of dogs you should be looking at, and there's all these lists. And, you know, when I did it, one thing I noticed was, what would people do about mutts? And so normally when I'm talking about mutts, I say to people, what you see is usually what you get. If you look at a dog and it looks like 90% Rottie and 10% Terrier, you're going to get a dog that's mostly Rottweiler. If you turn over the paw and the paw is all webbed, you got a retriever there. You know, look for the dominant traits of the dog. Is that true in using this book as well?
Yeah, there's actually some scientific data on that. Scott and Fuller, back in the 1960s, deliberately crossbred pedigree dogs to see, which traits were genetic and how we could predict them. And, you know, sometimes God is good to us needy dog folk. And it turns out that what the dog looks like is the best predictor of what the dog is going to do. So suppose, God forbid, you had a cross between a poodle and a beagle. Well, you know, if it looks like a poodle, it's more likely to act like a poodle. If it looks like a beagle, it's more likely to act like a beagle. Now, of course, it's going to be not quite as predictive, but, you know, that's, as a rule of thumb, that works pretty well.
So when I look at your groupings, I see clever dog and friendly dog together. That's what the golden doodle is. No wonder so many people like them. So you guys, go out and get this book. Stay tuned for All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be talking about cats and celebrities again on the next segment of All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
With Deb Wolf and Dusty Rainbolt, the cat wrangler. And we were just talking about our last segment and thinking that if you have examples of pets treated badly in the media, especially cats, but dogs too for me, treated badly in movies or treated well or shown heroically or shown as nasty, anything like that, send me an email to DeborahWolfOnline.com. Just go there and you'll see the space where it looks for feedback and show ideas and questions for the air and all that kind of stuff. Send me an email because Dusty wants me to send her anything that pertains to cats in the media. And I want to know, dogs, cats, I want to collect this all and come back to you on All Paws Pet Talk Radio to talk about it further. But I'd love to get your input. So look for me, DeborahWolfOnline.com. And actually, right now, subscriptions are free there. So you can sign up for free, and then you'll get All Paws Pet Talk shows easily with one click. You won't have to hunt for them. If you happen to miss them when they played live in your state or your city, you'll be able to click there and get them. So, okay, so we're back with Dusty. And I teased you a little bit. I said 20 seconds. Are you kidding me? I don't know if I could... I don't know what I can do in 20 seconds. What can you do in 20 seconds? You can clean a cat's teeth in 20 seconds?
Well, actually, it's 20 seconds per side. I was mistaken.
Okay. But really, seconds.
In under a minute, you can clean your cat's teeth, and you don't have to worry about plaque, and it's great. But most people think you have to sit there and clean the inside and brush. It's really not like that at all.
Tell me, what do you have to do?
Okay. Well, first of all, let's talk about health of their mouth. If you smell your cat and they smell really nasty, go take them to the vet because cats don't ever have doggy breath.
Okay.
And doggies shouldn't have doggy breath either, but cats really shouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Just every now and then open the kitty's mouth up and look at the gums. They probably won't let you look in the back, but look in the gums. And if they look a little pink, a little swollen, a little inflamed, then take them to the vet because they need to have their teeth cleaned. But, okay, so let's
say... And you know what? If money's an issue, this is the month to do it. Because you look all over town, wherever you are in North America, you're going to see little banners up. Dental month. Free this. Free that. 10% off. This is the month to do it. And if your cat or dog has a little bit of a stink going on there, stinky breath, and you get it looked at right away, it's going to be way cheaper than if you leave it to rot and do serious damage. So get her in. Get them in. Okay, let's go to the next bit. So if they don't have that problem, but you just want to clean their teeth,
Can you use regular toothpaste? You shouldn't, right?
No, no, no. You need to use a kitty toothbrush and a kitty toothpaste that's actually flavored and very palatable for cats. And
flavored dogs, like mouse?
Well, not mouse, but poultry and shrimp and fish and all kinds of things that kitties like.
I can't even imagine brushing my teeth with shrimp-flavored toothpaste.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't it be awful to run out? You know, one of these days I might have to try it just to see what it's like. But they also have dog flavors that are preferred by dogs, like the beef and such. So dog and cats have different flavor preferences. So go ahead and get the ones that the kitties like. And what you do is you also need to make sure that you have a tiny, itty-bitty little toothbrush. They have gigantic toothbrushes out there, and they say they're for cats, but they're not. You need one. A company called CET, you can get it from your dentist, and it's about the size of an eraser head. So you put the toothpaste on there. And the first time you brush your cat's teeth, just let the cat lick the toothpaste off the brush. Don't try to, you know, go in and do the cleaning. Just let them lick it. And then the next time, you know, you might just do a little swipe to the back, and that's it. And then they get to lick some more. And always end with a treat, always. But when you actually get into the technique of brushing, all you have to do is the outside. Just do a little bit of brushing, especially toward the molars, because that's where you get the most plaque and the most buildup. And a little bit on the top, a little bit on the bottom, then you do the other side. And you only have to do the surfaces that are next to the gum, because the tongue is nice and it's got all those sharp little barbs. And for the most part, the tongue brushes the inside every time the cat does anything. So you don't have to worry about that.
So it's a lot less than with a dog. You know, with a dog, they sell these toothbrushes, which I think are funny. Like, sometimes they sell stuff that's just, it's designed to cause a problem. They're tiny, and you put your finger in it, and at the end is a little bristly brush. It's like a plastic, almost like a finger puppet, except instead of a cute little fuzzy animal on the end, it's got a little foamy, hard plastic toothbrush. But your finger's still in there. Okay, now, they make some advanced models where your finger's not in where the pet would be biting, but some of the simpler models, your finger's right under that brush. And so the very first time, especially, you ever do this with a dog and you touch his teeth, his natural reaction is to close them. So it's not good. It's not good at all. You'd be better off buying the other kind, or the kind that you don't use your finger. That's actually just a pet toothbrush to use on dogs. It does take a little longer on dogs. They need both sides done. But the same technique of getting them used to it by letting them lick it, making them like it, making them sit, tell them how good they are, and then, you know, making it their reward that they get to lick a little bit of this, and then they get a treat, and then, yeah, and then you do one canine, then another canine, and again, watch your fingers, because when they're new at this, they get stimulated, and so their mouth closes. They're not being mean to you. They're not people. You know, it's like when kids go to the dentist the first few times, they don't know what to do. So you just go easy, go slow, do a little bit at a time. Before long, your dogs, your cats will want to have their teeth brushed because they'll like the taste of the toothpaste and they'll like the attention they're getting. So you don't hold them down. You don't force them. There's none of that. You make it fun, right, Dusty?
Absolutely. Everything has to be fun. And the reward, and just, you know, if the animal is not getting into it at this point, stop. You always stop before they start getting freaked, and it's a wonderful thing. It's going to save you a lot of money, because if you have to go have dentals done and teeth pulled, and it's going to cost a lot of money. And also, dental disease, if the gums become inflamed or if you develop an abscess, it could actually start affecting the dog or cat's health. So you don't want to do that. And not only that, dental pain is the worst. And animals.
Yeah,
are
and
not
dogs and cats are stoic. They don't tell you, right? Especially cats. They're little tiny. I mean, we think of them as predators because they hunt mice and stuff. Oh, we only have 60 seconds. Oh, no. But they're prey, too. So their natural reaction is to hide their pain. They're not going to scream about it and fuss about it and limp around. Someone's going to eat them if they do that. They got to be real quiet and say, oh, no, I'm okay. I'm fine. So if you smell something stinky or they don't eat their food, and they're all of a sudden not eating their food, that's a sign. Take them to the vet. Okay, Jesse,
if they're dropping food, or if they suddenly develop a preference for canned food, that's also a sign that they have some painful teeth.
Oh, great. Okay, so we've helped people. And give your cats and your dogs a kiss. Do you kiss your cats, Dusty?
I do kiss my cats.
Do you sleep
I have
with
a vest that has. Huh?
Do you sleep with them?
Absolutely. I have several that sleep with me. My vet even.
You know, that whole study that came out that said cats and dogs are bad for you to sleep with and you'll die of diseases, they also said that women are much more likely to sleep with their pets. And then they said that they admit that women outlive men. So I don't know. We've run out of time, Dusty. Thank you so much for joining me. I can't wait to talk to you next month. We'll be talking again soon on All Paws Pet Talk.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio, Deb and Dwayne. And this time we've got an expert, a writer, a pet writer that I've read for a while now on my writers group chat lines. But today she's coming to us after just being evacuated from Egypt. So welcome to the show, Heike. Welcome, and I'm glad you're safe.
Thank you very much, Deborah. How are you doing?
Guten Tag, Heike.
Yeah, guten Tag. Hello.
So we've got Heike now in Germany, but still jet lag from her rescue out of Egypt. And I was going to have you on the show to talk about the situation for dogs and cats in Egypt before all this happened. What's going on there now? Can you tell us?
Well, you know, the situation for dogs and cats has never been really a pleasant one. Mm-hmm. Because in all Middle East countries, there's not much concern for animals at all. We don't have an animal protection law, and stray animals, stray cats, stray dogs, and other animals are numerous, and there's no statistics on how many are there. Of course, we have a lot of pet lovers, but the education of pet friends is still much less than in Europe. And just to give you an idea, a book about cats is more expensive than a cat. So people, you know, they have not so much concern about welfare, about medical issues, about vaccinations. Still, there's a belief that you shouldn't neuter or spay a cat or a dog, and that animals need to get married, as they call it, and that it would hurt the animal to deprive it from reproduction.
Really?
So
In
these days, nowadays, of course, you know, we have a lot of economic concerns. People started to lose jobs due to these demonstrations and crisis. You know, people didn't have cash in their hands for nearly 10 days because the banks were not working. Shops were closed. There was no access to pet food in many areas. So definitely the life of some households, pets, was getting miserable. There was no vet available in this time.
Pets? When you were in Egypt, Heike, did you have pets with you? You have a cat, right?
I have three cats and a dog.
And they were all with you in Egypt?
They live with me in my house, and we have a very good veterinarian that we can always reach because he lives in our neighborhood. And I always stock up on the sand for the litter box. I always stock up on food. And when I saw that these demonstrations will last for a couple of days, I was wise enough to go to the supermarket and to buy the remaining cat food and litter sand. So,
are your pets with you right now? Where are your pets
no,
right now?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't bring them because they are vaccinated according to Egyptian standards. I mean, good Egyptian standards. We have the vaccinations from the USA, I mean, from manufacturers in the USA. But actually, the German government or the EU governments, they have put a lot of restrictions on traveling with pets from outside the EU. So unfortunately, I didn't fulfill them. So this is why I couldn't travel with them in this urgent departure. Also, it was difficult to get a ticket booked along with pets. The airlines were not really ready to carry the pets. So what I did was my dog is staying with one of my best friends, and she's operating a dog kennel. And she's really a good person, and we trust her a lot. So she has always taken care of our dog when we were traveling, so I left him with her. My cats are still in my flat, and three friends are taking care of them on a regular basis, and they're working like in shifts. One of them is going each day, and they are reporting back to me on a daily basis what's happening with the dog, what's happening with the cats, that food is still enough, and this and that happened. So
this must be really terrible for the rescue shelters. I'm just thinking, if they're already overstrapped with all these wanted puppies and kittens and no spay and neuter and a society that allows
for
that.
They're always full, okay? And they're all private organizations. There's nothing that is arranged for by the Egyptian government. Yeah, there's no public shelters whatsoever. It's all private organizations, private funding. And, of course, in these days, they were in deep trouble to collect any money because actually the Egyptian, say, payment system is mainly working on cash. We still pay a lot of things cash or by check. So you always have to drop the money or send a messenger, which in a time when you are depending on your own cash to buy the remaining food in the supermarket and the banks are not available because they were closed for 10 days, you have other concerns than paying a donation to a shelter. So they were really running into troubles, and especially during the demonstrations, the Giza Zoo, our zoo in central Cairo, was totally left alone. All the staff had left. Nobody was feeding the animals there. So one of the shelters took over, and they sent, at their own initiative, they sent people to feed the animals. Now, with anyway having a very short budget, all of a sudden starting to feed lions and I don't know else what they have, but to feed those animals, it really stressed their budget. Plus, there are also a lot of private initiatives to rescue mainly dogs, that are really totally financially stressed. Plus, now in this time, a lot of expatriates leaving the country, being in the same situation like me, not being able to take their pets, the shelters are full.
So how can anybody do any help with this, Heike? Is it possible for people who are listening to help out? And if so, do you know of any contact, like of any agencies that are actually helping
out? If you have a website, we can provide some contact. Deborah, I had asked Amy Shujai to Twitter some contact through her Facebook site because I didn't have access to the internet for a couple of days, and still it's a little bit limited for me.
She's talking about Amy Shujai, a colleague of mine that I know well, and I can probably get that information and get it posted on All Paws Pet Talk Radio without any troubles. In fact, maybe I'll have Amy on in the future. Now that you give me that idea, I'll have her on as one of our guests because she's terrific too. Boy, this has been great, Heike. I wish you all the best and your animals, and I hope you get reunited with them soon and everybody's good and well. And thank you for telling us about what's going on in Egypt. And if people do want to send money and want to help, they can log on to allpawspettalk.com later in the week, and we'll have that information posted for you. Oh, thanks,
Wonderful.
Heike.
That will really help. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Okay, and thank you. I bet she's on her way back there as soon as she can. Are you going back, Heike?
I'm longing to go home. I'm checking back with friends in Egypt on a daily basis what the situation is like. Not only that I'm longing to see my pets, I also want to check on my home and my office and everything. You know, my life is in Egypt, so I'm a bit of a tourist in Germany. So being forced to leave home is an ugly feeling, I can tell you that.
Well, I hope we can have you back on the air when you're back in Egypt, and we'll talk about it some more then. Thank you so much, Heike. We've got to go. The show's over, everybody. This has been All Paws Pet Talk Radio for this week, coming to you with news from Egypt and the cats and the dogs there. Bye till next week. Be good to your animals. With All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm Deborah Wolf, your co-host. With me now, Dwayne Granboys. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the best pet radio in America on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we've got a big show for them today, don't we, Dwayne?
Got a great show, as a matter of fact. We're going to be talking with Charlie Crosby. Charlie is from Noah's Wish. And if you ever watched some of the footage from Katrina and you saw people down there trying to rescue these poor animals, these poor dogs and cats, that's what Charlie does. And she does a very good job of it. And it's something that everybody really, really needs. And especially if it's affecting you directly, they certainly appreciate when Noah's Wish show up.
Well, yeah, when you're leaving, when the police are making you leave, the firefighters are making you leave, and there's this big barricade blocking your way on your way home, and you're just feeling sick because your pets are on the other side. Lucky for you, Noah's Wish is on their way. So welcome to the show, Charlie.
Thank you so much for having me today. Thank you so much.
I know before we got on air, you said fire away, and really that is your life. You've been rescuing animals, 9 fires, 2 hurricanes, multiple floods, and counting. So what should people know? What do you want people to know? Because you've seen it. You've seen animals swimming for their lives, running for their lives in toxic soup, and you help them survive. What do you want us to know?
If I could give you one bit of advice for everyone, and it's the absolute easiest thing for everyone to do, if and when you should have to leave your home in case of evacuation, mandatory or self-vacated, please do not fail to take your animals with you. You may not get a second chance to go back in and get them, and it may be days before they allow a group like ours to go across disaster lines to look for animals. If you have the chance, put them in the car and take them with you.
So don't leave home without them. If you're being evacuated, take your pets. Now, I know you've told me before, most people, they throw their pets in the car and they don't have carriers and they don't have cages, and that's a big problem for you, isn't it?
It is. With dogs, we tend to, you know, our dogs tend to always want to go for a ride in the car, but a cat and your other critters are totally different. Most cats that I've encountered aren't big car riders, so you at least get them in the car. You've evacuated with that animal. Now you get to the evacuation center, and you open the car window or you open the car door. And if I had a nickel for every time that's happened, now you have a lost animal that's lost in a place that it doesn't know where it's at. If it was left at home, they have hiding places, most cats do, around your home and your area. But once you've removed that animal from that location, it doesn't have those same hiding places. So put your cats in a carrier. If push comes to shove, put your cat in a pillowcase if that's the very best that you can do. But make sure that animal is enclosed and don't take it out until you're in a safe area, enclosed area.
One of the things with the global, the way it is now, Charlie, is that as we get to see all these things and all these disasters that happen on television, and it's amazing how you will see a dog, a great big dog that looks like it could be a very big, ferocious dog, and may bite at you or may snarl at you under normal circumstances. They all of a sudden seem to realize that this person is here to help them, and it looks like they're just terrified, and they're perfectly submissive. Have you noticed that?
I have one of the best stories in the world from someone who used to be with our group, went out on a rescue in a boat in a flood, and was going down a street that was completely flooded, got to an area, was looking for an animal, but another animal was in the water, and saw the boat and literally leapt up out of the water into the boat and onto the seat of the boat next to this gal. And she just went, well, we can't leave you here just because you're not on our list, so we'll take you with us. Got us back to the shelter, went the next day, did the intake on the animal, got the animal in a cage and safe and warm and dry and fed. And the next day, thought about the dog, went in to go visit the dog, and there was the biggest caution biter sign on the crate and said, you know, we'll eat at the slightest provocation, see handler first. And this was the same dog that was licking her face the day before. Wow. In a boat. That's how bad he wanted to be saved.
Wow.
So, yes, you know, animals, when they get into that fright or flight sense, they get there long ahead of human beings. And about the time they're wanting to leave, they're looking at you going, why aren't you running for your life? Cats do it quicker than dogs do it, you know, and they're looking at us to get out and to take them when they know it's not safe. And as human beings, we're a little bit slower at that.
You know, Charlie, there's probably people listening right now who think they want to help. And, of course, they can give money, they can give supplies. You've got all that up on your website. But there's a more exciting way to help. You know, for the people who are looking for adventure travel and going all the way around the world to do something good like release turtles or grow plants or help villagers learn English, those kind of people, the people who love camping trips and love animals and feel when they see something like this on TV, when they watch Katrina or the forest fires of California or the Okanagan, and they see it and they think, I want to help those animals. Okay, what can you offer those people?
Well, the biggest thing I can tell them is go to our website and look up where our training locations will be this year in 2011. In California, they're in Pomona and Walnut Creek, February and March. Dallas, Georgia. Stillwater, Oklahoma this year. New Jersey.
And so what happens there? They get training, right? Like get training like to be able to...
You will come to one of our trainings, and we will treat you like you are at a disaster. You bring your sleeping bag, your air mattress, food for yourself for the 48 hours. We teach you to be self-sustaining when you arrive at a disaster, because if you can't take care of yourself, then you can't take care of anybody else.
And there's CPR, there's animal first aid. Like, you're going to learn how to be functional and helpful in a MASH unit for animals. Is that the right way to look at it?
Pretty much. And if you come to the table with everybody, bring something. If you're a vet tech, a vet assistant, a veterinarian, you know, if you're a telephone operator, you know, in a disaster situation, there's a great need for people that know how to hook up telephone lines.
How about drivers with cars on location? Could you use those in a disaster?
We can use, absolutely. There's nobody who knows the area better than a local person, eh? And when they show up to help you, and you've got somebody that wants to drive you around because they know the local area and what's affected and what's not affected. Yes, always we try to have local people in a where the local disaster is, because they know the territory best and the other resources that are there. You know, people want to help. Go to any kind of local training that you can get, whether it's through your city CERT programs. Those are citizen emergency response teams down in the United States. In Canada, you have your ESS programs that teach you this. So if you can get any kind of training in, or you're a volunteer at your local shelter, when there's a disaster, you bring those transferable skills. And, you know, we'll never turn anybody away. But if you come and show that you've been trained, you know, and have some kind of certification, we're putting you to work.
Oh, nice.
I know a little bit about what you're talking about, sort of, because I was a member of the dive team, the scuba dive team of Emergency Measures Organization. It was our job to go look for bodies when the local police authorities couldn't find them. And it was just a matter of getting a phone call and saying, okay, we need some help for this. What happens when you people are brought into the scene? Obviously, we only have about a minute here, but Charlie, do people contact you directly? Like, is it the local authorities will get a hold of your group?
They do. We never self-deploy, but most of the time we will call the Office of Emergency Service if we don't have an agreement with them in advance and say, hi, this is who we are, this is what we bring to the table. Should you need us, please call us back. And a lot of times we have relationships already built where they know they're going to get hit by a hurricane. They call in advance and say, get down here.
Right.
In advance, be here. So whatever that, whatever, whoever it is that we have an agreement with, or should they need help, they call our office, and then we put it on the website that we're watching the situation. We notify the coordinators in that area, and then we say there's an assessment team, and then you're deployed.
All right, we're going to have to wrap right up here. Just the website and for more information, Charlie, what's the best thing to do? I guess it's to go to
NoahsWish.org. NoahsWish.org. And if you want to hear more about Charlie and Noah's Wish, you can check it out on AOL Paw Nation. I'm writing for them. And the pieces will be posted on my blog and my website, part of redroom.com. So check it out and you'll read more about Charlie and Noah's Wish. 10 hours from this time of the disaster, and they're there saving your animals. Thank you, Charlie.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio and your hosts, Deborah Wolf and Dwayne Grant Boys. Wow, Dwayne, wasn't that fun talking to Charlie?
That was really interesting talking to Charlie, just to watch and see what kind of work that Noah's Wish do. And I know in our part of the country, in Canada, when we had some fires up here in the Okanagan, there was a huge call for anybody with horse trailers. And they were not just moving horses, they were moving llamas, they were moving cattle. They were moving anything with hooves on it, goats, sheep, pigs, anything. And, you know, the word just cut out really, really quickly. And like Charlie was mentioning, the local people know the area best. They know how to get around. They know the shortcuts. And they know where to stay away from. But what a great organization.
Yeah. No, it's so nice. And you go on the website, you see these pictures that make you feel so good of these animals being rescued. And you only hope that if your animals ever need it, there'll be someone like her there to rescue them. So I hope we got a whole bunch of people going to volunteer there and checking it out. It's an adventure of a lifetime, and you'll feel so amazing about the work you do. So a lot of it's bathing. A lot of it's getting oil and septic fluids and dirt and toxic things off animals that have been in floods. A lot of it's like that, or soot and ash. You know, a lot of it's cleaning them up and caring for them. It's the kind of thing we all love to do with animals. So let's talk about something a little happier, Dwayne.
Sure. I understand. All right, well, new additions to your family.
Yes, we had 8 puppies born this weekend.
And the mother.
So if you got them, smoke them, because we got 8 puppies.
Okay, what's the mother?
The mother is a golden retriever, and unfortunately, I guess she and I are not totally in sync because I thought it was happening the night before. So I had 3 sleepless nights. She only had 2 sleepless nights. But together, we managed to handle it. And she had 8 really beautiful puppies. It took a long time, though. A long time.
These are the cross, the Labradoodles? Is that what they're called?
They're Golden Doodles, yeah. I have a Standard Poodle male, which I breed with other Standard Poodle, and then sometimes with the Golden. And this might be her last litter. We'll see. I'm not sure. We'll see what she wants to do next year. But, boy, is it beautiful. It's pretty amazing to see. And I did film it, and I'm going to try and put clips of it on my website, Deborah Wolf Pet Expert, on Facebook, as soon as I can get it up. I'm much better at being a midwife than I am at editing YouTube videos, so, and much more motivated to go to the puppies than I am to go to the computer right now. But each birth was different. You know, some were completely independent, and others needed a lot of help, and there was one that was so funny.
What was so funny about the one?
Oh, well, okay, so it's 3 a.m., it's pouring rain, and she's been in labor now since the night before, and I've been up 2 nights straight, and this golden retriever jumps up, leaves the 4 or 5 puppies sitting there on the bed, jumps up, grabs a tennis ball, and goes running out the doggy door. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, great, that's what I want to do. I want to play fetch in the middle of the night, and, you know, in the pouring rain, it's almost 0 degrees. Oh, brilliant. So she takes too long, and the puppies start wriggling and making noise, and I'm thinking, oh, no, this can't be good. So I grab my coat and my boots and my flashlight, and I go out to look for her, and just as I go out the door, she comes bursting in the door with a ball in her mouth. Okay, so she's playing fetch. She comes running over to me, and I sit down beside the pups, getting her back. She lies down beside the pups, and she tosses the ball onto my lap, muddy, disgusting tennis ball, and I almost throw it off my lap, and then I realize it's a puppy. She's gone out and had a puppy and then picked it up and brought it in. So, okay, I closed the door after that. But it was so funny. This dog, amazing. No other puppy. She was fine. She was healthy. I wiped her off as best I could and gave her back to the mom. But at the end of it all, when she had her 8 puppies, she fell asleep with 8 puppies all on her tummy and 1 tennis ball above her head. And for that golden retriever, that is bliss. She was snoring so loud.
8 puppies. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like the octopup, the octodog.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Well, she had 10 her first time a few years ago, 6 years ago now. So she's, this could be her last time. We'll see. But she just adores puppies. So we'll have to let her decide.
That's quite the story.
Oh, so it's amazing the differences. And I think most people have never seen dogs being born. And it's so positive. You know, it's really, really, they really handle it well. Without any prenatal courses or anything like that, they do the hee-hee, ha-ha breathing, and they pace themselves. And I mean, it's the kind of thing that every woman should see before they actually have to go through it themselves, because it's really, really a nice version of what we have to endure, believe me. It's a nicer version.
You're talking about what every woman who's going to have a baby, or every woman who's is going to have puppies?
No, I'm talking about every woman who's going to have a baby. Dogs have it a little easier than us. They're only pregnant 2 months compared to our 9-10 months. Yeah. The baby's nursed for 2 months and then they're done. Well, that would be nice. So they have it a little easier. And the birth, wow, are they ever good at it. It's a beautiful thing to watch, really. Within seconds of being born, the pups are nursing. And one case, the pup was nursing while it was still halfway in the birth canal. Before it's even born, it's nursing. I mean, these are happy puppies.
You know what you have to see sometimes is you have to see a llama being born. And you have to help out with the delivery. I had 2 llamas, 2 babies born on the property here. And that is remarkable because they come out feet first.
Some of the puppies come out feet first and some head first. But, yeah, that would be long feet with a llama.
Oh, yeah, you see the feet, and the llama will walk around with the feet sticking out, and then all of a sudden, boop, out comes the head. So you got feet and head, and then you just sort of watch the rest to come out.
And it's goats are feet first, too.
It's
interesting. Yeah, it's interesting how different we all can be, and yet how the same. Like this golden retriever, she will protect these puppies. I mean, there's no question. We had a family visiting last night, and the woman came in, and the children came in, and everybody was okay. And the man came in, and she didn't want him coming in our house, not with her one-day-old puppies. You know, and that's a golden retriever. I mean, she had to dig really deep for that.
Okay. I love your puppies. I can't wait. Have you got them online? Are you going to put them online?
No, I can't put them online. They're tiny.
Who are you going to put them? I mean, you're going to put them online to look at.
Oh, I thought you meant to talk. Yes, of course. You know what? Right away, Deborah Wolf, animal expert on Facebook. I'll post some pictures right away, right after the show, if you guys want to see them. And, okay, so the smartest dog in the news. I want to get this out there before we run out of time. Everybody thinks the smartest dog gets 200, 300 words because that's what we used to think. The newest guy, the Border Collie contender, 1,022 words after only 3 years of training. Amazing. Yeah. Chaser's his name. And he's smarter than his trainers. He is.
Saying much for his trainers, really.
No, it does. Listen, he's smarter than me. His trainers have to keep a log of the 1,022 words and commands because otherwise they forget what they've taught him and what each thing means. You telling me you could keep a track of 1,022 dog commands? Because I can't. I would have to write it down.
Yes,
now, I mean, think of a waiter. He takes 10 items and he does it in his head and we're impressed. 1,022? That's one smart dog.
Okay, so what's next for him? A BlackBerry?
I think brain surgery, actually.
We're running out of time here.
Let's vote him for, you know, I don't know, governor. There's got to be some job that he could qualify for. 1,022, that's brilliant. Okay, everybody, we're running out of time. It's All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb and Duane. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Dr.
Get over here.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.